Yes, we are.
Thank you. Call the meeting to order. I would like to open the meeting by making the following announcement. For those individuals who do not wish to attend this meeting in person, it can be viewed online at the county's website. In addition, testimony in the form of written comment will be accepted and included in the record for any public hearing until the conclusion of that hearing. Written comment can again be sent through the county's website until the public hearing is closed. And with that, we'll call our meeting to order, and we'll entertain a approval of the agenda.
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Okay, do we have any corrections to the agenda
this
evening, by the way, before we start?
There are none, Chairman, although I understand there is one item of other business that may have an update.
Correct. So Cypress Point subdivision, their request to revise the conditions of approval has been withdrawn.
Oh, okay. All right. Do we know this?
Cypress Point
has been taken off.
So I make a motion to approve the agenda as revised.
And is there a second?
Second.
There we go. Okay, it's moved and seconded to approve the agenda as revised. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next item is the approval of the minutes of the February 13, 2020 meeting.
Make a motion to approve.
A second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the meetings of the February 13, 2020 meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, there's no old business this evening. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We're glad that you're with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission is shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberation and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a telephone or similar device, we also ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, then the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever you speak to the commission, please come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We do ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. During the proceedings, Sussex County does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. During the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission, and individuals supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Our first public hearing is conditional use number 2222, Jessica F. Peak.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district for an outdoor miniature golf course to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 0.46 acres more or less. The property is lying on the east side of Coastal Highway, that's Route 1, approximately 212 feet south of Jefferson Bridge Road. The 911 address is 32967 Coastal Highway, Bethany Beach, and the tax parcel ID is District 134, Map 17.11, Parcel 40.00. Staff would note for the record that we have on file staff analysis, a letter from the County Engineering Utility Planning Division, an exhibit book from the applicant, a site plan, and a DLDOT service level evaluation confirming that a TIS is not required. Staff would also note that we have received 17 letters of support in relation to the application. Thank you.
All right, shall we thank you?
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Mackenzie P. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Tunnel and Razor. To start, I'd just like to submit packets to you, some of the information you may already have. I'll begin as those are being passed out. So I'm here tonight representing Nick Gerasimus, a 24-year-old founder of Nick's Mini Golf, in the audience here tonight. A family-owned business in existence since 2015 with six existing locations in the Delmarva region that employs roughly 30 people currently. For reference, Nick's most recent project was approved in Dewey Beach, where Ed's Chicken used to exist. Nick works with Harris Miniature Golf and Mike O'Neill, who is responsible for project management. And I've attached a packet to our application detailing the mini golf course development process. Nick has partnered with Jack Burbage in this venture, and Jack is currently has a lease with Jackie Peak, the property owner, for the use of this parcel. And I will submit that into the record as well. As supported by the letters of support, Nick's business is a quality business run by quality people, both with excellent reputation throughout Delmarva, and is a first-class operation that will lend well to the family atmosphere of Bethany Beach, continues to provide both visitors and the local community. Tonight, Nick seeks the Commission's approval of an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district for an 18-hole miniature outdoor golf course to be located at the property identified by Mr. Whitehouse as 32967 Coastal Highway in Bethany Beach, Delaware. The property conforms to the district's minimum lot requirement of 10,000 square feet, and this property is situated near residential uses like Sea Colony and a number of commercial uses, including but not limited to restaurants and hotels such as Finn's, Mickey's Family Crab House, Bethany Beach Inn, Holiday Inn Express, and Bethany Beach Ocean Suites. So I am actually going to, as well, submit to the Commission some aerial images with help from the Town of Dewey's Mayor, T.J. Redifer. We took out the drone this morning and actually took some really great aerial images for the board's review. For the Commission's information, we did previously appear before the Board of Adjustment at the end of February and again on March 2nd, where we were denied 3-2 for three variances from the front yard setback of C1 for proposed structures, from the landscape buffer requirement of the combined highway corridor overlay zone, and from the parking requirement of the code, or lack thereof, which I will explain tonight, to reduce the number of required parking spaces for our outdoor commercial use. It is my opinion that the board's decision turned on parking. The board remained concerned about our impact on the surrounding sites, like the Boathouse Restaurant and Hickman's Plaza, after Mr. Arquette, owner and affiliate of those uses, spoke in opposition to our application. As I present tonight, I believe you'll understand that our use is entirely separate and apart from the Boathouse Restaurant and Hickman's Plaza. In fact, the evidence I will present tonight shows that there appeared to be a personality conflict with my clients, the board, and Hickman's Plaza, as the physical and geographical evidence shows no relationship whatsoever between our site and that use. As you can see from the images I just shared with you, and I will zoom out as well here. Maybe too much. Our use is highlighted here. The boathouse use is over here. We've got our parking in this parking lot, and Hickman Plaza is over here with Boathouse, again, right here. So as you can see from the images I just shared with you, our proposed site and Hickman's Place are unrelated, and it is highly unlikely that the patrons of Nick's Mini Golf will park at the Boathouse restaurant or Hickman's Plaza and inconveniently traverse across barriers to get to our site, where we actually also have designated parking, which I will discuss. Our use impacts only the Holiday Inn Express parking lot, and I will submit into the record at this time a letter from Jack Burbage, as well as an agreement of lease for 12 parking spaces at the Holiday Inn Express, in addition to the 6 spaces that we're providing on site. So in total, we are proposing 18 parking spaces, 6 on-site and 12 designated on the Holiday Inn Express parking lot. In your packet, you'll actually see images of grass spots that are provided, and those will be the spots that will be labeled with Nick's Mini Golf parking only signs.
How many spaces total was it?
18 in total. And I will specifically get into the parking at a later point. I'd like to start, if it works for you, with the use request and then move on to the parking.
Yeah, it works for me.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wheatley.
I think it works for everybody.
Okay. According to the Zoning Code Section 115-79, outdoor amusement places may be permitted as conditional uses in the C1 General Commercial District. Outdoor amusement places include, but are not limited to, batting cages, skating rinks, water slides, and of course, mini golf courses, which is why we're here. We are requesting the Commission's approval of a conditional use for Nick's Mini Golf. The existing use, an empty liquor store, will be demolished and replaced with an 18-hole miniature golf course, 9 of those holes being handicap compliant, on an approximately 0.46-acre parcel. According to the code, the purpose of a grant of conditional use is to provide for certain uses which cannot be well adjusted to their environment in particular locations with full protection offered to surrounding properties by rigid application of the district regulations. These uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare, but because of the nature of the use, the importance of the relationship to the comp plan and possible impact on the neighboring properties require exercise of planning judgment on location and site plan. Our use is desirable for the surrounding area and is compatible and harmonious with the surrounding uses, as expressed by a number of letters of support submitted to the Planning and Zoning Department. As the many letters reflect, Bethany Beach business owners and residents are looking for wholesome family activities and activities that align perfectly with the Bethany Beach Resort that visitors and locals are frequently looking for. The use will not adversely impact their surrounding uses. On the contrary, the use will complement the other uses. Additionally, as noted in Lauren DeBrow's memorandum to you, the properties surrounding the use are zoned C1, and the proposed use could be considered consistent in principle with the land use, the zoning area, and surrounding uses. Visitors staying in the hotels and residents living nearby in Sea Colony will be able to bike and walk to Nick's Mini Golf. This is a very safe walking community, and as part of the course design, safety has been specifically considered. In fact, the original golf course design was reduced in size to separate the golf course 15 feet in total from the highway and the course itself, and our civil project manager with McCrone Engineering also prepared a landscape plan that was updated, again, with safety concerns in mind to provide for space for a shared use path that may be required by DelDOT, which is a path that can be used by pedestrians for walking and biking, like the sidewalks and paths that already exist in that region. We also chose to buffer the property with crepe myrtles as a buffer around the golf course by recommendation of that project manager, because they act as a strong barrier to any potentially uncontrolled cars, and they still provide for a great visual screen for the property. Nick is also planning to install a 42-foot net to prevent any stray balls from flying into Route 1, obviously important. And we've already begun to work with DelDOT to understand any specific needs that we may need with respect to our existing entrance permit there. And we also have engaged the Sussex Conservation District to prepare in preparation of the standard plan for sediment and stormwater. And we did speak with Jessica Watson, who noted that we will be improving the stormwater conditions on site as we're tearing down an existing building and then obviously replacing it with more pervious surface. I believe that you all understand what a mini golf course is, and so I won't bore you with the point of that. I'd like to take a moment just to pause on the use and ask if there are any questions before I move on to parking.
Yeah, I just want to ask you about the golf ball on the Route 1.
Yes.
This is miniature golf, correct?
I agree with you.
The miniature golf that I'm familiar with is played basically with a putter. Is that correct?
Yes, you are correct.
Just wanted to make sure we were talking about...
If I may note for the record, that was one of the board's specific concerns, and that is why I brought it up here today.
The board of adjustment?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that. I also find it kind of amusing.
I do as well.
But okay, I just wanted to make sure, for the record, that that's what we were talking about, because I knew there was a new kind of mini golf that I'm not aware of.
Extreme, yeah, extreme mini golf, I guess.
Yeah,
there was a lot of
knocks on it. Okay, continue.
That's the way back, though.
Okay. I will move on to parking then if there are no other questions. Okay. So tonight I encourage you all to reassess and reconsider what the board missed with respect to parking. First, the zoning code does not require a specific number of parking spaces for an outdoor commercial use like our proposed mini golf course. The code only provides for a parking requirement for an indoor commercial use. Director Whitehouse and I have discussed this point, and we are in agreement that the code does not specifically require parking for an outdoor commercial use. We are in agreement that an indoor commercial use is the most similar use to an outdoor commercial use. And we're also in agreement that if our use was an indoor commercial use, we would be required to have 125 spaces, which is required by code, one space for every 150 square feet of patron use. Knowing that, I stress that per the code, there is a distinction between the outdoor commercial use and indoor commercial use. This point is common sense that we will not require 125 parking spaces. In fact, most of the patrons attending this miniature golf course will travel by foot from communities like Sea Colony, hotels like Holiday Inn Express, and from restaurants like Mickey's Family Crab House. We believe at most we will require 18 spaces, and this is based off the fact that at Nick's other sites, his six other sites, at most he has 18 spaces. He's never had a problem on those sites, which he will testify to. And on some sites, he also has no spaces whatsoever. So we really do believe we've gone above and beyond in providing 18 designated parking spaces for solely Nick's mini golf, six on-site and 12 with a shared parking arrangement with Holiday Inn Express.
Just real quick, I would add, just so it seems like mini golfs are popular lately. We had this issue. I took one through Ocean View, and it wasn't the same client or anything like that, or same party, but different. Surprisingly, in Sussex County, with the proliferation of mini golfs over the years, there's nothing in anybody's code that deals with the number of parking spaces for a miniature golf course. I will say that in the conversations, we sort of did the same analysis that she's just described, and it doesn't work, you know, just because you have only 18 holes of miniature golf. If you had 125 spaces, there would be, you know, five foursomes on each hole of miniature golf, and nobody would be there. It just didn't make any sense. We actually had to go through working with the engineers involved, and including the town's engineers, a parking analysis, and I'll just say roughly came to the same conclusion, you know, that it was just overparked with... We weren't even looking at 125, but, the other thing is, too, just procedurally, and this may be more of a site plan issue than a conditional use approval issue, under 115.164 of the code, you do have the ability to modify parking requirements. It says, where in the judgment of the Planning and Zoning Commission, the parking requirements listed in 115.162 are clearly excessive and unreasonable, the commission may modify the requirements. So, you know, I know it went to the board, but you all have the ability to do that, whether the time to do that's here or, you know, on a site plan review, you know, that may be an issue. But anyhow, just wanted to point both of those factors out.
Thank you. In the letter submitted by Jack Burbage, owner of Holiday Inn Express, who is here tonight, Jack permits and leases the use of 12 space in the Holiday Inn Express parking lot for use by Nick's mini golf patrons. And in the letter, he also confirms that he's the owner of the lot of the proposed site, that there's roughly 121 parking spaces in his Holiday Inn lot and only 100 rooms, so there's obviously more parking spaces than there are rooms. The lot is underparked except for perhaps on 4th of July, which we all know it's busy everywhere on 4th of July down here. And also, Mr. Burbage agrees to provide for bike racks to be placed also on his parking lot to provide for additional parking for patrons coming to Nick's site. The parking lease also represents that Jack Burbage is the owner and that he's also the tenant of our proposed site here, as evidenced by the lease submitted into the record. And by this agreement, again, he leases the 12 spots of the Holiday Inn Express parking lot to himself as tenant. Other than that, I do not have anything else. I would like to take another moment just to have Nick Drasmus, as well as Dean Drasmus and Jack Burbage speak. Nick is the owner. Dean is a consultant on the project. And then finally, Jack Burbage, as I've said, is the owner of Holiday Inn Express and partner here too. May I have them come forward?
But you're going to. So
great.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, wonderful.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having us today. I really just want to
get your name and your address.
Sorry. My name is Nick Jerasmus from 13001 Reagan Ridge Road, Ocean City, Maryland. We came here today to really propose the idea of mini golf being the perfect use for this piece of land in Bethany. And I really believe that it adds an aspect to the town that is sort of missing, especially in this area, which is in perfect walking distance to all these different things like Sea Colony, the Holiday Inn Express, and whatnot. Being in such a good location makes it the ideal thing for mini golf because of the parking issue itself. The biking and the walking is the main business for me in mini golf, especially in the summertime when it's nice out. People want to walk there and then hopefully walk and get some ice cream or something else after, and they have the option to do that right here. And that's my main point today. I just want to just think that it brings the families and keeps them in Bethany. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening. Thanks for listening to us tonight, especially with what's going on out there tonight.
Here's how we do this.
Dean Drasmus.
You introduce yourself for the record, you put your comments on the record. Okay, and I'm sorry I did not make that clear in the beginning.
No problem.
Is there anyone else who's going to speak? Just come on up, give us your name, and then you've got it.
Dean Jerasmus, 333 Walnut Drive, Chesapeake City, Maryland. Obviously with the same last name. I'm a consultant, but also related to the applicant. Okay. He really doesn't need me anymore, obviously, because he's hit on all the points. But I just want to let you know that with doing the research, the amount of time that's put into this, it's just when someone needs to borrow money and invest over $1 million into the property, you do your push-ups. You make sure that you're doing the right thing and it's in the right area and it's in need. So just within the walking and biking distance, you have Sea Colony, which is actually a city within itself. On certain weekends during the summer, you can have up to 17,700 people, including the east and west buildings. It's estimated during these time, during these busy months, that 74% are families. These are all families looking for something to do, okay? The one, like Nick had said, the one thing that we feel is missing is the amusement, something to go do before dinner on a cloudy day. What do? You either have to leave Bethany sometimes or go to Ocean City or do something else. This gives some kind of activity there. So you already have multiple restaurants there. You have plenty of different accommodations. And the families, these accommodations We talked to the restaurateurs. We talked to the hotels. We certainly talked to all the real estate places that rent thousands of homes and projects here. And they all believe, as I think you'll see in all the letters that were submitted, that they believe that this is a huge plus and will be a huge plus to the community. And some of the out-of-the-box thinkers for the restaurants have even gone a step further. They've come to the determination that sometimes when people want to play miniature golf, which is obviously a very popular thing for families, they'll base their whole night around it, which includes dinner, right? So they usually won't go to dinner somewhere close by and then travel 20 minutes to a miniature golf course. So what they'll do is they'll actually maybe perhaps go to Ocean City, Maryland, have dinner there, and do their golf there, and then come back for the evening. The restaurants are particularly excited because this will keep more people and keep them spending money in the town or the county. And we thought that that was a big plus that needed to be mentioned. As far as the parking goes, that's been addressed. The bottom line is one of the things that I'm in charge is the research on it. Like they said, some courses that Nick has request zero parking. A lot of municipalities, at least you guys have it, a lot of municipalities don't even have miniature golf included. So it's something that they have to go and add. But at the very max, in Ocean City, at the very max, what's requested is 18 parking spaces. And he took the time and the effort, as you'll see by the drawing that was discussed, is to make sure that the safety was very important. So even the state highway already knows that there's no cars that are going to be pulled in front of the property and then be able to back out into the highway. Much like the liquor store that was there, it was kind of free rein. You actually have to come off and you come into the Holiday Inn parking lot, and there's designated spots there that will have Nick's mini golf signs on them, in addition to the handicap that are on his premises and the other six with a maximum of 18 spots. I know some people were concerned about the parking. I know they have different rules and different ideas about what the parking will do. But I assure you, much as you had said, sir, it amazes me, even in the mid-July, the golf course could be packed on every hole, yet you only have six or seven cars in the parking lot. It's just a walkable and a bikeable situation. The other thing is, because there's not a lot of other activities around there, what's going to happen is if when people are done playing golf there, they're going to go to their next destination. They're going to go back to where they were. It's not like there's a roller coaster nearby or anything else where it's going to bring a cluster of people in there. So those 18 designated spots, we feel is sufficient. And it's a need for the area. We just think it's a home run, and we hope that you guys take that into consideration.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, who's next?
My name is Jack Burbage. Address is 9919 Stephen Decatur Highway, Ocean City, Maryland. And I am the owner of the Holiday Inn Express, and have got the contract for the land for the mini golf that Nick's doing. To me, Nick is a bright young man that's trying to make a living. He's doing well. He's got six other courses, and I just want to try to help him continue what he's already doing. As far as the location goes, the house that's there now, which was the liquor store, is mostly non-compliant, the way it was built and the way it is. So we would be cleaning up that lot tremendously by going with mini golf. It would clean it up, it would look better, and it would be putting the lot in compliance, where now it's mostly out of compliance. Other than that, the parking seemed to be the big issue last time, and maybe I'm not thinking right, and you all help me out, but we're having 18 parking spaces, and there's 18 holes. If each one of you came and drove and nobody else was there, you would have filled the course. 18 of you. You'd bring maybe one, you'd bring four, you'd bring six, whatever. But you'd each get your place and play a hole. So there was 18 holes, and you'd have 18 parking spaces. That would fill the course in and of itself. But yet, I do believe that parking is a minor use here, because I think the Sea Colony people and the people from the Holiday Inn will be walking to it, and they already are parking there. So they'd be walking to the course for something to do, because they need more to do in Bethany for the kids to do, rather than go on the beach or whatever at night. So I think it's a very good use. I think Nick's a very good operator. I will tell you that I've been in Bethany since 82. I've been up there, I've owned property since 82. And I will tell you, and you all possibly know, that everything we do is right. It's first class. It's not halfway. We don't try to do it cheap. And that's what Nick's doing. That's his proposal. I've seen his plans. It's going to be right. It's going to be a first class course. So it's really going to be an asset to the area. The safety's been taken into consideration, I mean, overly done to some extent. I think everything about it is right, and I think it's needed. I'm fine with them having 12 parking spaces, a bike rack, and whatever else is needed for the people to come, so that there's plenty there. But it's a good area. Bethany is a wonderful place. This will be just like the hotel downtown, and it'll extend the season in Bethany. The hotel in Bethany extended the season, and the merchants will tell you that. To extend the season, you've got to have something for the people to do. This is one more thing that would help that out. So I hope you will consider approving it tonight, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Counselor, does that conclude your presentation?
Yes, it does.
Okay. If you would just stay right there for a second. We'll see if anybody on the commission has any questions. I have one question, though, for the staff. The proposed lease with the parking with the Holiday Inn, is Holiday Inn still able to meet their parking requirement without having those 12 spaces?
So, yes, if they have a shared parking
arrangement. Shared parking
arrangement. They're not losing spaces because it's a shared agreement. So.
Right. We've done that before. That's not anything new. I just wanted to make sure for the record that the point was made, that they would still be in compliance because we do allow them to share space. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I'll see if anybody has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Mears.
So I grew up down there, going to the putt-putt and the par three. And I think it's an ideal location. Visiting the property, I had one concern, and it's addressed in Delbach's email, item number 4, and that's entrance from Route 1. As Mr. Burgess said, removing the existing building with a wide open entrance, an entrance as wide as the property, is big as far as changing the safety of Route 1. So my concerns are just what are the items on DelDOT's list and safety between the course, just a barrier to keep a kid from darting out in the street.
Right.
Otherwise, I think it's a great, great plan.
Right, which we hope we did make clear on the record that we addressed by pulling the course back total of 15 feet, adding in the buffer with the landscaping. And there will also be actually sort of like a chain rope fence sort of like you see at Seashell Shop, for example, that will delineate the property even more.
I'd like to find a 42-foot net.
Okay.
I haven't seen you play putt-putt, though.
Just ban me, then. That's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you.
On the comments from DelDOT, I noted that they are suggesting a sidewalk across the frontage of the property, and I think you mentioned in your...
We did provide for space for that, and that's something that obviously subject to approval here that we would have to work with DelDOT on, and we are aware of that and have initiated that process. Mike O'Neill, our project manager, he's unfortunately not here tonight, but he's initiated that process to work with them on their requirements, and we understand that.
They're probably going to require that as part of their, because it's going to be a whole new entrance approval, and I'm sure DelDOT...
Can you also mention a multimodal path, though, as well?
The shared path. I believe is functions as the same.
Probably the same as the sidewalk.
I feel like there's that much space to put all that in there, but anyways. Okay. I have been there in the middle of the summertime and used those parking spaces there and never had a problem.
Thank you.
With the parking. So I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you.
Where are the 12 spaces?
They're going to be on the back side here. They're designated.
We'll be here. And the main entrance is going to be that?
The front. And there are three access points. So you theoretically could come in off of South Pennsylvania, turn left on Jefferson Bridge, and then come into Holiday and Express there. Or you can come off Route 1, go down Jefferson Bridge, come in here as well, or right off the up Route 1. So there's really three access points as well.
So, but most people would come in through the parking lot into?
I think that's what most people do now.
That was it. Those are my questions.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Laura?
I have none, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Well,
done for me. Thanks.
Done for me. Thanks.
All right, then. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2222, Jessica F. Peak? Yes, sir. In favor. Come on up.
Good evening. Paul Rickard, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. With the mini golf, where it's going, excellent idea. My complaint was during the Board of Adjustment hearing, and it's Board of Adjustment doing parking and making decisions with parking and different issues that they deal with. Parking should fall to this board, not the Board of Adjustments. Now, with the Board of Adjustment hearing that went on with the three variances, and it seemed like they did all three variances in one vote, which didn't make no sense, because a while ago there was an argument or a discussion about each variance being individually voted on. For example, was a pool and voting for a pool and then voting for a variance for the fence. They approved the fence but then denied the pool, which didn't make no sense. But when you knew that this was going to have to come in front of planning and zoning and county council, Board of Adjustment should have gotten this after it went through planning and zoning and county council through the process. I feel certain things for variances should be done through Board of Adjustments, but I don't believe that there's issues still with Board of Adjustments that should be moved up the ladder to planning and zoning and county council. Concerning the parking, if it doesn't, and it was brought up during that hearing, if it's not required for the outdoor parking, why did they even have to vote on it and not pass on it, and voted on the other two variances separately for the setbacks and the other variances? It's just, I would hope that you would have a discussion somehow on the agenda so other businesses, other residents coming in, to have it go to this board. Different things concerning parking. The variances come in after you do your conditional use or your change of zones. But if they're going to need a variance, let it be known during the hearing what they're coming in for, that they're going to need the variance, and then send them to the Board of Adjustments. This way, Board of Adjustments would also have in favor or against. They would have the planning and zoning. They would have the county council. It would be a decision that should be made. It's time to pull and look through with some of these uses and the way it's done to remove certain things out of Board of Adjustment and bring it to this board. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir.
Good evening, Mike Nally, 38846 Ocean View, Delaware, Bayberry Court, Ocean View, Delaware. I'm here to support the request for a variance for a mini golf course in the Bethany property. I've been business owner in the real estate development business in that quarter for 30 years, resident for 30 years. Everything that's been said tonight, I concur with. First class operators, first class developers, first class people. I urge you to consider a favorable outcome for this request. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? All right, sir. Come on up.
Dave Clausen, 33931 Hiawatha Boulevard, Dainsboro. And I'd just like to comment, I've golfed at the Knicks Golfs in Maryland. Very clean, professionally run. It's a great operation. Bring my daughter and her kids down, my grandkids. We have a lot of fun there. This is perfect for the Bethany area. I bike down there. It is totally a walking and biking community around there. The density of the population down in there would be perfect for that. Give something south of Pennsylvania Ave some entertainment, family entertainment that they don't have right now.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? In favor. Okay. Come on up.
My name is Samantha Peelstick. I live at 3 Decatur Street in Berlin, Maryland, and I work as a property manager in the Bethany Beach area, and I just wanted to give my support for this because I feel like this is absolutely the family use type businesses that we want to continue to improve upon. I feel the businesses that I work with have all supported it and said that, you know, it's absolutely, they would much rather have this than a lot of other types of businesses that are popping up in other areas. They feel like this supports the quiet resorts, that supports the business community by offering other things that keep people, as they've said, that keep people in town for the night versus causing them to do day trips or evening trips away out of town. They felt like it kept people in the community and working and would help to provide more business for them. So they just wanted me to ask to add my support.
All right.
Thank you.
Duly noted. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2222, Jessica F. Peak? Okay, there being none, yes, sir.
Chairman, just a note, I've been monitoring the county's inbox because we were allowing comments online.
Course.
Just to confirm that we've received no further comments in support and no further comments in opposition while the meeting's been running.
So. Okay, thank you. All right, there being no further comments, anyone on the commission have any further questions? All right. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening and see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you. All right, that concludes our public hearings for the evening. Moving on to other business, our first item is subdivision 2019-18, Merrill J. and Betty L. Parker, final subdivision plan.
This is a final subdivision plan for a standard subdivision of 8 single-family lots and site improvements. This site is 49.80 acres, located on the northeast side of Lakeview Road. The preliminary subdivision plan was approved with conditions at the October 17, 2019 meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The final subdivision plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning and Subdivision Code and all conditions of approval. The applicant is seeking to split the subdivision into phases while awaiting further DLDOT approval. Phase one will consist of 4 lots and the residual land. The tax parcel is District 133, Map 15, and Parcel 19. The zoning is AR1, Agricultural Residential Zoning District, and staff are in receipt of agency approvals for the Phase 1 portion of the subdivision. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the final site plan for 2019-18 Merrill J. and Betty L. Parker.
Second.
To move and seconded to approve the final subdivision plan for subdivision 2019-18 Merrill J. and Betty L. Parker. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Ernest Mayer Incorporated Parker Block revised site plan.
This is a revised site plan for a proposed 4,144 square foot office addition and other improvements on a 20.3313 acre parcel of land accessed from Millsboro Highway. The revised site plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code. The tax parcel is District 133, Map 20, and Parcel 15.01. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential Zoning District, and LI2, Limited Industrial Zoning District, and staff are awaiting agency approvals. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, in regards to Ernest Meyer, Inc., Parker Block, I make a motion to approve the revised site plan. Could staff approve the final?
Yes.
With final?
Yep.
By staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the revised site plan for Ernest Meyer Incorporated Parker Block as a preliminary, with final approval to be by the staff, subject to receipt of all other approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is Giant Food Expansion preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for a 14,800 square foot expansion of the existing Giant Food building. Site improvements include extending the existing sidewalk around the building, shifting the fire lane, and the addition of 48 new parking spaces, changes to the existing parking lot, and landscaping between the new parking area and Seaside Boulevard. The site is located at 19312 Lighthouse Plaza with access off Coastal Highway. The preliminary site plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code. The tax parcels are District 334, Map 13, and parcels 325.40 and 325.41. The zoning district is C1 General Commercial, and staff are awaiting agency approvals. Thank you.
Question on this one. Mm-hmm. Are they required to have another 48 parking spaces, or are they just throwing that in?
I
think they're just throwing that in currently, if I remember correctly.
One of those, I was just wondering if they needed to do that. It's a lot of hardscaping in that area if they don't need to put in parking spaces on them.
Great.
I would be surprised if at least some of them weren't required, because I can't imagine that they would have overbuilt the first time.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a lot of parking there. I didn't know if this would be employee parking or what, on the side of the building, because everybody's fighting to get the front.
That's not going to be the preferred place to be.
That's for sure. Correct, because it's towards the rear of the building.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's just for the addition of the existing or the proposed expansion of the building.
So based on the 14,800 square feet, they would need round about that amount, but I think they are going over what they're required to provide. Mm-hmm. So if it was a smaller extension, they wouldn't have to, a smaller addition, they wouldn't have to provide as many, but it's, with this type of use, it's typical to provide it more than you need.
Right. You know, when you have a toilet paper run during the coronavirus, I get it. You got out of space.
That's right. Yeah. Or a pretzel run during the Crown Royal virus.
It is preliminary, so as part of the discussion,
the coronavirus.
So staff can have that conversation with them about reducing some of that potentially when they come back.
I mean, if they can leave it as green space, it's not really green space now, but if it could become green space. Yeah.
And it may be something that could be softened up with landscaping as part of the discussions for a final site plan. So if that's a concern, we could discuss that as part of the final, and then when it comes back, we'll bring it back to the commission. So.
Correct, because currently no soft landscaping is proposed at this time.
Do I need to mention that in the motion?
I think we would just note it. The commission noted at their meeting, and then with final to come back.
So. No, I think it's just that's a motion to approve the preliminary.
Okay. Site plan. I move to approve the preliminary site plan for Giant Food expansion with final site plan approval subject to staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
The moved and second.
I
was going to say, before we entertain the second, I was under the impression that you might want to see it again.
Yeah, no, sorry.
You don't have to. But
no, it's just I move that we grant preliminary site plan approval to Giant Foods expansion with final site plan to come back to the commission.
Actually, you don't even have to say that. Yeah. It'll come back automatically unless we say otherwise.
Yeah. So. Move for preliminary site plan approval of Giant Food expansion.
Well, I got to tell you. That never happens.
Mark it down.
That's right. So moved and seconded to approve the preliminary site plan for Giant Food expansion as a preliminary. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Americana Bayside MRRPC Freeman Arts Pavilion preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for the construction of a 1,010-seat proposed arts pavilion, including 845 parking spaces, 18 handicap spaces, 14 large passenger vehicle spaces, and other related uses on a parcel consisting of 8.98 acres. The site is located on the south side of Signature Boulevard within the Americana Bayside community. The preliminary site plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning and Subdivision Code. The tax parcels are District 533, Map 19, Parcels 36.01, 864, 866, 881, and 990. The zoning district is MRRPC, Medium Density Residential, Residential Plan Community, and staff are awaiting agency approvals. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I will abstain.
Okay.
I move for approval of the preliminary site plan of Americana Bayside MRRPC Freeman Arts Pavilion with final site plan approval subject to staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Does MRRPC have to come back to us?
Yes.
I think this, just a preliminary approval.
Yeah.
Second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded to approve Americana Bayside MRRPC Freeman Arts Pavilion preliminary site plan as a preliminary. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Americana Bayside MRRPC The Point Amenity Revised Amenity Site Plan.
This is a revised amenity site plan for the Point Amenity for the proposed installation of 6 removable safety bollards, a proposed building roof addition with columns over the existing patio to connect the existing pool bar roof, and proposed 445 square foot patio expansion consisting of a total of 1,713 square feet. The addition will be open to the air with rope fencing surrounding to match existing proposals. The public service area has also been delineated on the plans. The Planning and Zoning Commission approved the installation of the bollards to prevent vehicular traffic access beyond the existing parking area and the commercial use of the existing tiki bar at their meeting of December 19, 2019. The tax parcel is District 533, Map 19, and Parcel 304.01. The zoning is MRRPC, Medium Density Residential, Residential Plan Community, and staff are in receipt of all agency approvals. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I will abstain.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the revised amenity plan for Americana Bayside MRRPC, The Point Amenity.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the revised amenity site plan for Americana Bayside MRRPC, The Point Amenity. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is R.E. Michael Company, site plan 20-04, preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for a proposed 24,760 square foot building addition with expanded parking lot and a possible stormwater management facility. The site is 11.56 acres and accessed from Janus Road. The existing use is commercial and the proposed use is wholesaling. The site plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code. The tax parcel is District 334, Map 5, Parcel 138, and the zoning district is C1, General Commercial. Staff are awaiting agency approvals. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the preliminary site plan for R.E. Michael Company, S-20-04, with final to be by staff upon the receipt of all agency approvals.
I second.
Moved and seconded to approve the preliminary site plan for R.E. Michael Company site plan 20-04 as a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all other approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item, Cypress Point, was removed from the agenda. Our final item is Lands of Wine Works LLC, minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement.
This is a preliminary subdivision plan for the establishment of an additional proposed lot off of a 50-foot ingress egress access easement. The parcel is located on the west side of Blackwater Road, SCR 384. The preliminary subdivision plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning and Subdivision Code. The tax parcel is District 134, Map 11, and Parcel 53. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential Zoning District, and staff are awaiting agency approvals. Thank you.
Is this the one, because there's conditional use for wine works in the front.
Correct.
Is the back part, is that covered by the conditional use too?
No.
Okay.
This is separate.
Okay. I couldn't remember if it covered the whole parcel originally or not. Okay.
That's what I was trying to think. When I was looking at it, I was like, there was some question we had. What was it? So, yeah, okay.
This is a separate approval.
No, but I realize it's a separate approval, but did the conditional use cover the whole entire piece, or was there, you know?
I believe it was just the front portion.
Okay. All right.
Any more?
Nope, that's it.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the minor subdivision off of a 50-foot easement for Lands of Wine Works LLC.
Second.
The move and second to approve the minor subdivision off the 50-foot easement for Lands of Wine Works LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Okay, that completes our agenda, referring back to our public hearings this evening. We had one public hearing, conditional use number 2222, Jessica F. Peak.
Commissioners, if you don't mind on this one, it sounds like, I think generally there was some favorable approach to it, but there's some shared parking issues and things I just would like an opportunity to kind of sort out.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
We can talk, but yeah.
I move we defer for further consideration.
A second.
Move second to defer action on conditional use number 2222, Jessica F. Peak. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that completes our agenda for the evening. I would like to congratulate Mr. Whitehouse on his appointment as our new director. I think everyone is very pleased and delighted, and we're looking forward to moving forward now, as long as we're still allowed to have meetings.
Yes.
It could become an issue for us, because the governor has issued a directive, executive order that is going to limit the size of public meetings, and may cause us to have to reschedule some things if we are anticipating a large turnout, which we occasionally have. So
it advises event organizers in Delaware to cancel non-essential public gatherings of 100 people or more to prevent the community spread of coronavirus. So, as a county, we've got to look at what that means.
We have to deal with this and see what it means to us. It may not have an effect. I mean, I guess you could argue the essential nature or non-essential nature,
yeah,
or size or something, and it doesn't exactly say you can't do it, but just says you shouldn't do it. So we'll see what our county council decides they want to do. But hopefully it will not be.
And administration.
Too disruptive, yeah. So.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, anything else will go to the order.
I actually do have a question about something that, what our responsibility is for things that have already gone through. And in, for example, one of the conditions we put on hotel in Lewis was that lighting can't go into anybody else's property, can't bleed onto them. But right now it's lighting up a bunch of people's backyards like it's the middle of the day.
Well, did somebody complain to
in
the office?
In the paper, I don't know if they complained.
Well,
unfortunately,
the Cape Gazette is not the clearinghouse for the planning and zoning office is. And if they would call the office and make a complaint, the office will dispatch an inspector. And
there's no reason you couldn't, or a commissioner couldn't as well.
You could too, and you can make a complaint on their behalf.
Okay. And But is what happens then? Is something done? I mean, is there?
So I believe this might actually be already an existing case if it's the site I'm thinking of. So I won't get into the weeds on that. But the process is that we would open up a violation, potential violations complaint case, and we would send an inspector out from the constable's office. And once they've been investigated, we'll determine if it conforms with what's been approved on the site plan. And if not, we will take appropriate action.
If it doesn't, we do have enforcement.
So they would have to change it.
They would have to change it, yeah.
We've been down that road, actually, on another business outside of Lewis before.
Yes.
You guys confer, and if it hasn't been, then go ahead and make the complaint. Because
okay.
That's an issue that should be important to all of us. When we place conditions on stuff, it's done for a reason. 9 times out of 10, to accommodate the public. So if we've done something to accommodate the public and it isn't happening, then it needs to be happening. It just does.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, or not unfortunately, but the case in Sussex County is that we don't have the ability to be roaming around looking for violations. We rely on people making complaints, so don't hesitate. If you see something and if it doesn't look right, just call and they'll investigate it. But by all means, we should be checking.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anybody have anything else?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I have a question for our director. Mr. Rigger's comments about the proper protocol of where an application goes first.
So I have discussed this with Mr. Rigger outside of this meeting already, and I understand the concern. There is nothing in the zoning code saying that you have to go to the board first or go to the commission first. Ultimately, the waiting time to get to the board is much less than it is to get to the Planning and Zoning Commission. So I can understand why an applicant would want to go to the board first. There is a little bit of the chicken and the egg situation going on there. There's nothing in the zoning code prohibiting you from doing that. In this particular case, his comment was he thought it wiser to come here first. I'm inclined to agree, but there's nothing prohibiting him and going to the board first. So
sometimes it depends on, do you need the variances to even make what you're asking for viable? Because, you shouldn't come here with something that's completely not viable unless you have the variances. But I also know that, Mr. Mead, you probably remember this, you get in a situation if they come here first and get the approvals from P&Z and the council, they go to the board, and the board's like, well, what are we supposed to do? You already approved it. It sends a weird message backwards. So.
Or like the accounting office.
Yeah, right.
Probably should have gone there first.
Right.
Okay.
Something to keep track of, though, because it's something that staff can probably direct. Yeah, no. I don't
That's all I have.
Okay, anyone else? If not, you stand adjourned.